Greetings from Tromaville. This is Lloyd Kaufman, president of Troma Entertainment and creator of The Toxic Avenger. You know, folks, when we're not making those great movies like Poultrygeist, Night of the Chicken Dead, we like to kick back and listen to This Week in Geek. Because This Week in Geek is absolutely the best visual entertainment that we have ever seen. It's incredible. When I listen to it on the radio, I can see it. I can see those geeks. I can smell them. I can hear them. And I can fuck them.
Hey guys, what's going on? You're listening to another episode of Botched Roll. I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dodd, from ThisWeekInGeek.net and many great radio stations across the US, Canada, and wherever brainwaves can be heard. Well, the last time we took a look at my adventures in the Star Wars role-playing game, more specifically the West End game universe, as we took a visit to the Mos Eisley Poutinery, basically bribing the Game Master to get food, get ships, get weapons, and it all ended in a massive clusterfuck of nonsense. But in today's episode, we're actually gonna put down the books and the dice. I know, weird, right? And we're gonna talk about a game that is the one I think a lot of people associate with LARPing. And for those of you that don't know what LARPing is, LARPing stands for Live Action Role Playing. And I myself have dabbled in this more than a few times. And although today's story-ish is not necessarily about the first time I ever LARPed, let's just say that involved going to a strange place with a strange man named Eric, waking up in an abandoned camp, zoodles, and eventually getting the hell out of there with my friend Dave, though not the Dave from Twig. No. Today's episode involves, let me see, how would I describe this? A bunch of losers, a band shell located in Owen Sound, Ontario, people jumping around like idiots, playing rock, paper, scissors, and a diner at 4 o'clock in the morning, surrounded by drunk people. And this episode is dedicated to some of my very merry idiots that I've had a chance to play with over the course of the last, I guess the last time we played was probably back 2005, 2006. So people like my friend Nancy and Damien and Mary and all the other people that I used to deal with and play with this game. Some good memories, some bad memories, some of these friendships no longer exist. But hey, it is what it is. And here I present to you. So, once upon a time, my involvement with Vampire the Masquerade. I got one of those little books that you sometimes get down at your local comic book store, where it's kind of like the quick start rules to certain role-playing games. And I'm pretty sure I had one from White Wolf. Probably got this around probably 98, 99. And I kind of started to get into the Vampire the Masquerade universe. Now, at that time, there was also a TV series going on that was called Kindred the Embraced, which never quite finished because the lead actor unfortunately died in a car crash. But the world of Vampire always had me remarkably interested. I actually remember getting a number of these books for Christmas one year. I had the Storyteller's book, had the main book, Vampire the Dark Ages. And I actually still have almost all my original books. Although, like an idiot, I gave away my Demon the Fallen book to an ex-girlfriend and have been regretting that pretty much ever since. But I thought I knew the world of Vampire the Masquerade, and I would meet people along my journeys throughout living across Canada and Ontario about, what it meant to be part of the Camarilla and whatnot. And occasionally, I would get a chance to play with some of these people. And I've got stories about how the Terminator and Connor McLeod eventually cross paths in a role-playing game. But that's, once again, a story for a different day. So, I have newly moved back into my old hometown of Owen Sound at this point, and I'm looking for friends. And fortunately for me, I lived in an apartment I used to live in several years before, and somehow I got the same apartment back. Figure that one out. And there were these people that lived across the street from me, And somehow nerds of a feather fly together and we just sort of found each other. And I remember just hanging out with these people, and they were very different than other people that I'd hung out with at the time. These people had fully embraced nerddom, and it was just something that I've come home. I found friends who really kind of get me, people who know what a D20 is, people who understand what it means to be under auspex, people who understand basically role-playing nerds, for lack of a better phrase. I think it was my friend Jess, Damien, Nick, Morgan. I want to say there were others there. My friend Craig, Mary, and at the time, her husband. And I found out they were doing this thing called Vampire. I'm thinking, hey, I played the tabletop version of that. That's fucking cool. LARP, do we have to hit each other with plastic swords? They're like, no. So we meet down at the Owen Sound Band Shell, which is by the Owen Sound Library. And if you happen to be from the area, it's this band shell. It's been around since like the 40s. It's been newly restored, though, in the last like 10 years. And every Saturday night during probably from like May till like probably like November, we would gather every Saturday night from about like 8 or 9 or night till probably like 3 or 4 in the morning and just act out the court of the Camarilla for Owen Sound. And if you've ever been part of a vampire LARP, the power structure is normally there's you as the new character. So suffice to say, nobody Mick who gives a fuck, versus the people who are established. Basically, the people who are in power, basically the storyteller, his girlfriend, or, you know, other people who have been around for a long, long time. And honestly, it's not like a new player should immediately come in and be dominant. But you definitely feel like you're on the outside. Sort of like, you ain't Batman, you're Batman's sidekick. And I don't even mean Robin, you know what I mean? You're sort of like if Alfred had a sidekick. That's about how low on the totem pole you are. And it's not to say that I didn't have fun. So I'm like, all right, guys, well, what do we do? And we're out there at the band shell, and everyone's dressing up. I mean, not like super extravagant, but there are people who are wearing like trench coats, obviously. Like, I remember one of the people I used to play, I think his name was Dan. He used to wear these pants with these insane amount of buckles. And he frankly looked like a fucking anime character. And you could hear him coming from like a mile away. Because all you would hear is just the sound of buckles and metal just rubbing against each other. So suffice to say, he's failing any sneak check he ever attempts to do. There was my other friend's husband, Oliver. He's a unique fellow. Not a bad guy, but a rather unique fellow. And everyone would sort of play the clans they felt that they were accustomed to. And in Vampire the Masquerade, for those of you that don't know, basically vampires live in secrets. There are different clans, or basically different versions of vampires. There's people like the Ventru, who are sort of like the richy rich blue bloods. There's the Malkavians, who are the lunatics. The Nosferatu, who are like vampires that are so ugly to look upon them as the sea madness. There's the Tremere, basically blood mages. Let me see, who else? The Bruja, which are like goons. Gangrel, who are sort of more in touch with their animalistic side. And all sorts of things like that. And you'd basically play whichever one you felt most comfortable with, much like you would with like, say, D&D or whatever. And there would be storylines happening in the city. However, though, with our storyline, our storyteller was a guy named Mark, and I think he ran it with a few other people. I want to say my friend Damien had a hand in it, and I think my friend Nick did too. Not 100% sure, but I know Mark was pretty much the head guy in charge. And over the course of the 2 years I was involved, I still don't know what the fuck was going on. I know his wife played a character, I think we just called Gur or Ed, Special Ed, who was insanely strong, who could really, basically, she had, like, celerity, which is, I think, like, the super speed or something, and, like, had potence to, like, retardedly high levels, to the point where if she flicks you, your head flies off. And there was supposed to be this court of intrigue and politics, but it just came across as silly and stupid. And like I said, I never quite understood what was going on. I actually used to go down there with a friend of mine. We're not friends anymore, which is rather unfortunate. His name was Neil, and my friend Mary was talking about this on Facebook. I remember one time we were playing it, and this guy, Neil, was obsessed with Pepsi, and, well, what can I say? Pepsi's goddamn delicious. But I remember him playing, and he used to call the bottle of Pepsi he would cradle his precious. It was very Gollum-like and very, very weird, but I've never quite forgotten that part. So anyway, one of the nights I remember happening with this is one of the first nights that I ever started playing with them. And we're talking about, and I'm asking them, as a new person who's introduced themselves to the Prince of Owen Sound, yeah, we have a very small vampire population up in Owen Sound, why, you know, what's going on? And the Seneschal, who's sort of like the sheriff, I guess, or the prince's right-hand man or something, is telling me about what's going on in the area, how the werewolves near Cape Croker, which is where I am from, I'm native Canadian, in case you guys didn't know, how there's like a truce there, there have been hunters seen in the city, and pretty much that's about it. Like, I'm told about their threats, but I don't remember ever running into any of them except about a once. And I'm trying to think what else happened. So anyway, I find out through talking through other players in the city, other people like Craig, who I think was this master spy guy. I remember him being English or something. It was really weird. This is a guy I used to be really, 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 really close friends with. And the thing, he has this epic mustache. And I don't know, he has this very unique way of speaking, whereas if he kind of reminds me of an English version of the Swedish Chef, and I don't mean that to be insulting, he just has a very unique cadence to the way that he speaks, and I'd love to hear him just read the phone book to me. So anyway, he tells me about how one of the storyteller's characters evidently owns a nuclear weapons submarine under the West Edmonton Mall. And I'm thinking, okay, that's somehow beyond the pale of stupid, but okay, let's go with it. And then I start to find out about how the power structure in this city really works. And let's just say me, being the new guy, was not necessarily in any position to ever, ever claim any position of power under any circumstances ever, 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 ever going to happen. So, I'm in my more petulant days. I'm kind of an asshole. Not your, I hate everything, I'm going to punch everything in the face and spit out because it sucks. No. At this point in my life, and I'm not ashamed to admit this, I'm very much a part of the jackass CKY, that sort of Bam Margera mindset where, you know what, if I can make something stupid, I'm going to go ahead and do it. And therein begins the tale of clown shoes. And it's sort of how whenever my storyteller Mark would pull out one of these storylines or try and get us set up for the night, I'm literally off in the corner just doing nothing but sarcastic remarks and making his big bad guys look like idiots. Because at this time, we're using the rules out of Mind's Eye Theater, which is sort of the live-action version for Vampire the Masquerade. So I'm like, all right. So I know your lore, and I know how to min-max the system. Okay, let's play. So, I would read the lore from the other books. And this guy, Mark, was a walking encyclopedia of the knowledge in this world. And of course, I'm into it. I think it's kind of cool. But at the same time, I'd be like, can we have something neat? Can we have, like, gargoyles? Or can we be attacked by real hunters, like the real imbued? And when I necessarily didn't get my way, I would sort of stick my foot into the plot. And once again, I'd do nothing but just make fun of people or make fun of the circumstance. In fact, my favorite thing was to do nothing but poke the prince, who's the guy who ruled the city, and just incessantly just sort of be that mom, 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 and just do nothing but annoying crap that I could possibly get away with. However, though, eventually, that would come back to bite me in the ass, And this is probably the most memorable adventure we ever had. I play a character named Jason, and I was a gangrel. But the thing is, my character was related to the Indians up at my reservation, which means I'm likely part Guru. Guru is what they call werewolves in this particular universe, basically. And I'm not talking those pussy-ass Twilight werewolves, no. I'm talking, like, 10-feet-tall death machines that will tear you apart in a heartbeat and basically turn vampires into pate. So anyway, we had one epic storyline where I was kin to the Guru, but through just wrong place, wrong time, I got converted into a leech. So there's this war happening literally over me between the vampires and the werewolves in the city, and eventually it comes down to this huge battle, which oddly enough happens at the Bandshell in Owen Sound. So this epic showdown between a couple of werewolves and the most powerful vampires in the city. I'm pretty sure I got one or two people killed, or at least severely wounded. And I'm told that I can never go home again as my character. The fact that for now they will let me live because I know enough to stay the hell away. But should I ever trespass on the tribal lands again, I'll literally be cut to shreds, have my head put on a pike, and that's pretty much the end of it. And of course, this all plays out in the theater of the mind, and some of us acting out. Now, of course, we can't have guns and weapons, although I do remember bringing my sword, my Connor McLeod katana, to a few of these sessions, and that's a big no-no in LARP. Never bring a real weapon, because you never know. Although, there is a story that I can tell you guys at some point, where I was actually jumped by a kid. And I'm not even lying when I say this. He had a Roman short sword stuffed in his jacket. And if me and my friends weren't outside with our own weapons kind of just fooling around with them, that night might have ended very, 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 very differently. Let's just say there can be only one. And I'm very glad I knew a big black guy named Chuck that night. But back to this. So playing vampire, people would often wander by this gazebo or this bandshell on a Saturday night, usually in the summer, and it's very nice, it's very picturesque in downtown Owen Sound, as much as it could be. And you'd get just people just walking by, wondering, why are there all these weird kids in black just hanging out and doing very elaborate theater gestures? And occasionally we get the drunks from the bars, we'd get into the odd yelling match with people, and you know, not necessarily the best thing to do, but whatever. And eventually, game would end, we'd call it, the events of the night would happen, whatever. Whatever advancement happened in the storyline, Lord knows I didn't fucking know. And we would retire to this little diner that rested down near the harbor front in my little town, called Golden Donuts. And from there, the game would kind of metagame continue. We could talk with our storyteller and see, what did we want to have happen next? And the weird thing about the vampire in Owen Sound is the game never quite stopped. Our storyteller was one of those guys I would almost consider borderline obsessive. He would talk game anytime, anywhere, to the point where I'm pretty much, I think it screwed up things in his personal life. I don't want to go too much more into that because it's not something I'm 100% sure about, but let's just say it wasn't a good scene. But I do remember calling him and getting phone calls in character in the middle of the day. And this is where I'm working at a local television station thinking, guys, I'm fucking busy. And it just got to the point of just to the point where, you know what, this is really weird and I'm not sure whether I like this. But as most LARPs do, things unfortunately fell apart. Relationships and people changed, people drifted apart. And sadly, the once proud city, as it were, of Owen Sound eventually collapsed under its own weight of stupidity, infighting, and my character's more powerful than yours. Meh. And it it kind of sucked because I always thought Vampire the Masquerade could be a really cool game. And I actually have friends of mine that play this down in Toronto, or they play Mage or stuff like that. And Vampire's a game I like, but I'm more of a fan of the old World of Darkness. They rebooted things back in the early 2000s, and I've never quite liked it. Now it's Vampire something or other. It's not the Masquerade. I forget. And it's just a different world than what I knew. Now it's, instead of Werewolf the Apocalypse, it's Werewolf the Forsaken and whatnot. And the rules are different. And I don't like different. I really don't, in this context. But as far as I've heard, they've brought back the old World of Darkness in some capacity. But that's the world I knew. And I've always enjoyed the other games involving the World of Darkness. Like I've mentioned, Hunter, Werewolf, Demon. I think there was even one called Mummy. Or I know there's one for Ghosts. Wraith the Oblivion, I think, or something. So where basically you play like the fucking crow or something. And I always found those worlds more and more interesting. Yet everybody I ever played with in any serious context, it always came back to fucking vampires. And like I said, nothing against them. I'd rather be a hunter imbued with glorious purpose to take down the evils that lurk in the night, or perhaps be in tune with nature and be at odds with the spirit world and my own blood. Instead, I get vampires, politics, and parking tickets. I remember us having very elaborate conversations about who controls what in the city. In fact, hell, I remember people creating characters where they would have influence and they'd have control over parts of the city where we were talking about municipalities. It got to the point where if you knew the city bylaws, you could be ridiculously powerful because you knew how the city worked. And I'm thinking, Jesus Christ, the fact that we can now control vampires through municipal politics has now gotten to the point of monumentally fucking stupid. But such as it was, that was the Vampire the Masquerade LARP that Owen Sound ran for quite some time. And like I said, I've got a lot of good memories, made a lot of good friends out of it. I'm still friends with a few people that came out of that LARP. Some people, not so much anymore. Like I said, we've drifted. Incidents have happened over the last couple years. That means we're no longer friends. And I don't wish these people any ill will. But goddamn, we were stupid kids once. But it all came down to dressing all in black, acting ridiculous, and ordering breakfast at 5 o'clock in the morning. Anyway, guys, that's pretty much going to do it for this edition of Botched Roll. What am I going to talk about next time? I don't know. I could talk about my first adventures in D&D, or maybe I could actually give you some real tips on how do you create memorable characters, or how do you create a world that kind of lives and breathes around you? I mean, how do you make your player characters feel like they're actually doing something? So, I don't know. We'll have to wait and see what happens with that. But until next time, I've been Mike the Birdman Don saying, live free or die hard, and may you never roll a natural one.
Want to see me make bubbles with my spit?
Sure do. In fact, that's the theme of our next show. So don't miss it.
What the hell happened to George Lucas?
Oh my God, there's snot on my face. And I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dub. And I'm not a join. Not a join. What the f*** does that mean? F*** that. 10 seconds.
No, you gotta keep that.
Let's do this. Let's do this right the first time.
F*** you guys. Ew, it's in my mouth. Oh, God.
Oh, what's it taste like, Mike?
Water. Ew, salty.
Let's start this episode with shat.
okay, I'm good, Geico.
Holy shit! Oh my gosh! Freak! Die! Holy crap! Whoa! Where did it go?
I'm like a stupid monkey.
As you can imagine, they don't let us out much.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Tune in next week to hear, somebody random. I don't know. Maybe even a hot chick.
Yeah, let's go with that.
Did anyone ever tell you that you were very, very sexy?
How are actually, no.
They never will.
Check out our website, thisweekingeek.net, for more geek content. As well, subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Send us a Twitter message by @replying to @thisweekingeek. Lastly, you can email us at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. This extra music was produced by Prono Bozo at PronoBozo.com. We'll see you next time, and remember,
lower your shields and surrender your listenership.